welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Okay, so I'm super excited about this, you guys, because, and thank you guys so much for being here. You're like my angels. I just like absolutely love having you women in the room. It's magical, isn't it? To know that all these strong women are just like holding this space. Do you feel that? It's like so safe and solid. Okay, so I'm really excited about this part because we've never had a panel at Bliss before. Always wanted to. And it's just going to be about 30 minutes of questions going home. So normally I stand up here and I try to cover everything that could possibly come up about you going home. And I realize, why don't I just let you ask? Like, that's so much easier, isn't it? Like, questions like, what happens when this arises? Or what about if my spouse doesn't support me? Or what if I'm a little bit nervous about this with yoga or with eating? Or, Tara, I really want to get sexy. Like, what is the next step? Right? So what we're going to do, and I would really love if you guys have been like one of the most amazing, respectful groups of everyone, but the questions are our questions, right? We don't need a long backstory because it doesn't apply to the whole room. So if you guys can work on getting really concise with your questions, you're going to notice how it translates in the rest of your life. People are really going to be drawn to you because you get to your point quickly. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, awesome. So when we do questions, it's about 30 seconds to a minute. And then we'll give you a nice, tight, concise answer. And if it doesn't apply to the room or we think it's a question that we can handle later, does that make sense? If it's really specific, like, I have this problem in my business and I want to know this, we might field that question. So could I get a volunteer to actually write that question down? And we're going to send you guys an email, or we'll post it. Katie will do it, yes. So what we'll do is we'll post the questions with the answers in the Facebook page. Does that sound good? So don't take it personal if your question is fielded, right? It just means it doesn't apply to the masses right now. We'll say, you know what? We'll field that one. We'll get you that, or we'll follow up with that in the group. So whatever we can't answer today, we'll follow up within the group. Cool? Okay, and any question can be for anyone specifically, or we'll just take it. Sound good? Awesome. Okay, so who wants to open up with a question? Oh, hand goes up right here. And we're going to do mic runners for the questions. So name and where you're from, and then your question.
Thank you. My name is Megan from L.A.
Woo!
Okay. After any event, Bliss and otherwise, how do you keep the energy?
Did you say after any event, how do you keep your energy?
After Bliss or any other event like this, how do you keep energy?
So I remember being at events like this, and that's why your piece was so perfect. I used to could not wait to go home so I could just veg on the couch and eat food. I'm not even kidding you. And then Monday would come, I'd get super anxious, and you know, I would start the next day. So what I've learned over time is taking action right away. So tonight, if you're used to going home and whatever it is that you used to do that might not get you to that next level, do something completely different. Go to somewhere completely different. And then be around people who are looking to do what you're doing. So if you can't find anybody in your surrounding area at that time, connect with someone right now, because we have FaceTime, we have Zoom, we have so many things now in terms of technology and social media. So get that person or people right away.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Next question. Thank you for that question. Amazing question. Right here. Name and where you're from and stand up. You're getting a mic in 1 second. Lindsay, take mine.
Hi, my name's Carrie Keating. I live in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. My question is really about enrolling your spouse or significant other or maybe the people that are closest to you. I know that I'm going to get home and my husband's going to be like, here's the kids. I don't care about this event you want to put on. Mm. So what are maybe some tips or tools that you guys utilize to enroll your spouses or significant others in your vision?
The first thing that came to my head is don't even try to enroll them mm-hmm. in what you've learned, in the sense that I used to try to get everybody on board with my process. Like, I learned this new thing and you guys should all do what I've learned. And I noticed that whether it's my partner or my parents or my family, the more I tried to shove it on them, the more they resisted. So what I've learned, mostly through failure, is to be unattached to them necessarily getting what you've done, necessarily wanting to know even what you've done. I mean, my husband used to think I was nutter when I would come home from these events. And he literally would almost be like, it's cool that you're doing your thing, but it's like almost like I kind of don't want to know. And now it's a lot of years later, like 15 years later, he's at the retreats hugging everybody and crying and Malabees. Mm-hmm. But it was only really when I let go of the attachment to him being where I was on the journey, that, and my parents and my family as well, that it gave them space to have their own journeys. And my experience has been to lead by example and to share your magic with those who are hungry and dying to hear it. So find your tribe, find the people who are dying to hear what you learned. And that's why the sisters and the brothers that are in the same place as you at this moment in time, because we all ebb and flow, are so important to have that tribe. And they may not be in your same hometown. I come from a small town in Northern Ontario. I understand that geography is a factor. So connecting with people here or other people, soul brothers and sisters elsewhere, is an important source of support. Having said that, I do believe it's important to also include our loved ones in the process. So that could be a negotiation of, it's important to me that you care about my stuff. So there's a difference, and it's the difference is being attached to them doing what you want them to do or you think they should do. So for me, I would definitely speak my truth about, I'm on this journey, and in order to maintain intimacy in our relationship and to grow on a similar path, not the same path, but to both be sharing in the growth process, I would like to share, can we have a date with the mandate of me sharing with you some of my takeaways and maybe asking for what I need from you on this new path that I'm on, without attachment to them either getting it or doing it, but just an offering and an invitation. Mm. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for that question. Another question? I know you've got them right back here.
Thanks. My name is Zoe. I'm from New York City. And
hi, Zoe.
Hi. And this could be a question that may be tabled for a different forum, so I wanted to put that out there. But one of the things I think is incredible about all of the women on the stage is that you've all founded your own businesses. And I think that anyone who founds their own business and creates something is special, but particularly as a female, particularly in this era, is incredible. And so it would be really cool to hear a little bit about how you balanced, if at all, that you're on path A, and you either close the back door, or whatever the analogy Lori shared was, like you don't give yourself an exit option, versus a plan B, which might be maintaining, you know, your old coaching role before you step into the new one, so that it's more of a step change business strategy. So just talking about how you made that shift and all in versus gradual.
I think that's a great question. You want to take it?
Yeah. I actually love that question. So this was really interesting for me because I've, you know, lived on a couch in the name of entrepreneurship. So so attached to like not going back and working for the man or whatever that might be. And there was a time when I had to go back to work post second health coaching practice failing way back in the beginning of my story, you guys heard. And there was a while where that was very, very disempowering. So the vision, the like North Star of, you know, my quest to heal myself and help other women was always there. Like that was always plan A. There was no plan B. However, I had to take care of like my livelihood in a part of the process. So I went back to work. The place that I worked, the three places that I worked were a kind of negative, toxic environment, all of them. And I actually had a coach at the time. And I realized that the lesson that I needed to outgrow a lesson at each one of those places to be able to step into my power and lead women. And if I for a while thought, well, this job's keeping me from being an entrepreneur. No, like there was a lesson I needed to learn there to outgrow and step into entrepreneurship. And a thing that I did was there was a lot of negative self-talk about that job. This, like, if I didn't have this job, I could work full-time and launch my business. If I didn't have this job, I could do this. The big switch for me was this job's not keeping me from my mission. It is my mission. So what I learn in this job, what I take from this place is the same struggles that all my clients are going to struggle with and the same lessons that I'm going to need, the discipline I need here, I'm going to need to manage myself probably 10 times more. And so I, in my mind, switched the perspective of that job that I felt like was keeping me from all of my dreams was actually a part of my dreams. So that was a really big piece. And then one last little piece was, since the place I worked in was so toxic, I actually had an anchor. I had shoes. And I'm going to credit one of my coaches, Ryan Yacomi, for this. So I wanted to switch into my personal business when I got home. So there were shoes that never... the job was like an outside sales position. So I'm like taking coaching calls in the car, like driving my car all over Florida to like sell medical devices. It was just like insane. And I had shoes that I wore during that never left my car. Like when I went into the car, put the shoes on in work mode. When I left, breathed, changed headphones. You guys probably saw me with headphones before. Headphones on, shoes off. Like I switched my state. I switched my way of being. Like I left that there and then I stepped into what I was building. And that was, you know, every night for 2-3 years. So hope that helps.
That's amazing. great question and answer. Thank you. Awesome. Next question. Right over here. And thank you guys for standing up. Like it's so brave standing up and saying your question. And you're doing it for all of us, by the way. Has everybody had these questions in their head that people are asking? Yes. So thank you.
I'm Carrie from Missouri.
Hi, Carrie.
Now that you are where you are right now today, what's the one piece of advice you would have given yourself when you were at the beginning of the journey?
Oh gosh, such a good one. Just love the journey and know exactly where you are in every moment is exactly where you're meant to be. There's so many ebbs and flows in life and in business. And I actually truly believe that business and your life is very parallel. Mm-hmm. And the highs will be high, the lows will be low. And one thing that I did learn, I don't remember who talked to me about this. They always used to say, make sure your highs aren't too high and your lows aren't too low. If you could kind of stay in the middle and be so leveled out along the way, it's truly a great place to be. And just know that, again, it's like the ocean, ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'd say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Next question right over here. Thank you for that.
Hi, I'm Binu from Toronto.
Hi, Binu.
So I'm part of Lori's like Facebook groups, and I run my own Facebook groups. And the one question I have is in yours, a lot of these women are here, there is a lot of action, vlogs being putting up, people posting, it's amazing. The one that I run on my own, it's me, mostly me, and I get a few people posting. And so I'm just curious, is because I haven't invited them to do it, I'm just... curious if you have some tips on how to get people to engage more.
You know, this is such a good question because I felt this way for a really long time. And my honest answer, and this may not apply to you, but what it was for me is that I wasn't appreciating my people that I already had. I wanted more people to come. And what happened is when I flipped it and I just decided to love these people, if not even one more person entered, and just love on them so much and thank them for everything that they did and think of how much more I could pour in, get them to take action, create the questions, start the conversations each day, hire someone to help me start those conversations. If you're not in that place yet, that's, you know, you start it yourself, obviously. And really engaging questions, like what would I love? Like, what am I thinking about today? And showing up really vulnerable in there, then your people, that was one of the biggest things, is how vulnerable can I get and how much of myself can I show in here so they feel free. Hence, like, the no makeup, the bathrobe, just being really honest, like, your crowd comes because they can say, whoa, okay, this is the space that we're in, right? Like how this room feels. Whoa, we're all like taking our clothes off, for lack of a better word. So it's like we're showing ourselves so the other person feels like they can. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you. Amazing question. Thank you so much for that question. I hope it helps. Right over here.
Hey, again. Angie from Georgia.
Hey, Angie.
My question is, when you have your heart so on fire for everything, and me personally, I was telling Brittany, I'm a life binger because I just want to do everything all at once. How do you narrow it down? Because I have my book and my blog in Africa, and I'm just trying to help everybody in the planet at the same time, and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. How do you funnel it?
You know, Lindsay, I'd love for you to answer this one because I actually know so much about her too, and she wants to love everyone at all times, but she carries everyone's energy. And you're such a good coach with that.
Okay. I'm just, because to me there are like different levels of the question. There's the time management piece of it, but when we're talking about carrying everyone's energy, that's a different, to me, kind of clearing that needs to happen. So I am also recovering, wanting to do everything for everyone. So I'm not going to give you expert advice on the ruthlessness of saying no, but I will say that one thing that helps me to become clear is listening to my intuition and emotions as a guide. For example, I notice sometimes I'll get like pissed at clients about certain things, and then that's an indication to me that I've allowed a barrier in myself to be crossed. And I like to now listen when it's way earlier than being pissed, like just like, oh, this doesn't feel, it's kind of, that call doesn't call to me to get on today. Or, and obviously Lori's advice of if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. So that's as simple as it could be. Also for me, I look at the opportunity cost. What else could I be doing with that time? For me, family time is extremely valuable. So it's like, how much is it worth to me to be away from my kids? And is that worth it? So those are some tactical things that I think about, listening to your emotions. And on the flip side, the intuition of it's really exciting you, it's firing you up versus a should. When you're in your head and a should, it's probably going to have a different sensation. Actually, we'll go back to the yoga. Using yoga as a way to get in tune with your body to say, is this a should? Is this heavy? Is this an obligation? Or is this an elevating, intuitive, definitely on my path thing that I should be doing as an indicator of what to say yes and no to? As far as the energy piece, I feel very, very strongly about this. And I was lucky to learn this early in my coaching training, which is that the mantra that CTI that uses that I was trained with is that people are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. And I actually take it to be that it's a bit arrogant of me to think that I can fix anyone. So what I do is I hold the space as witness, as a mirror. I ask the right questions to help them to heal themselves, to help them take responsibility for themselves. And I think it's an offering to them to put it back onto them to take responsibility for their process. We talked about enabling earlier, and taking on people's energy is not serving them. It's definitely not serving you. And so there's a longer conversation about how to create boundaries around that. But perspective could be a big shift on that front. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. self-care, obviously. Your yoga, your meditation, your healers from an energetic perspective.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Who else has a question? Right back here. Oh, Jordan. Like at the spotlight, I can't see anything. Right back here. My retinas.
Last year when I left Bliss, I had a struggle with this throughout the year. And so my question's for you, Lori. When you go home and your heart's on fire, whether it's just for your new workout schedule or to start a business or whatever the case may be, and you really start stepping into your power, how do you make sure to balance out the masculine and feminine energy in your home with your partner or spouse? So for instance, as you became more successful and as you really started to embrace who you wanted to be and what you wanted, the impact you wanted to make on all the women in the world, how did you still honor Chris's position in your home and his position as your partner in the masculine energy?
Oh, that's such a good question. I still struggle with that because it's really funny, and Chris even knows this. I'll be doing something or I'll be on my computer and he'll be like touching my arm and I'm like, don't touch me. Because for real, I can't even explain it. I'm like, ugh, I'm in a different mode right now. Like I am not in wife mode at all, right? And Chris is like, oh my God. And his love language is physical touch. And so I'm like, all right, I better make sure it crosses. I better make sure that crosses over. So I'm actually, that's the number one thing I'm working on right now is like when the day is over or when I'm aware that, oh, he's in a different mode or he doesn't know that I'm in total work mode. I literally say it in my mind like, okay, like let go, like loosen up, like step into something else. And in the evening, sometimes I've even been consciously going over him and getting in like feminine mode and just like laying down on his lap and saying like, could you just rub my face or could you rub my feet or could you, I mean, honestly, like just getting in receptive mode because I'm in bull mode during the day. I'm like, rah, rah. And so it's like, that doesn't, it's probably not really awesome to be married to me sometimes. So we have to go for a walk. We use walks as a barrier point. And the first 20, 30 minutes, you guys, of walks, like sometimes we don't talk because I'm just literally flipping into wife mode, into relationship mode, and I'm saying it. Like I love the shoes thing. Like that's so big. Like maybe go when your evening is done or when you're going to go see your husband or something. I'm not even kidding. Like do something that makes you feel feminine. Like do something like, I don't even care if you go and you dab some perfume. Do people still do that? I'm like such a dude. I'm turning into a woman, but I put these dresses on. But this is part of it. I'm being honest, like that's part of it. Go and do something that flips you over into like, okay, receptive mode, like receiving, talking back and forth, like being interested in him. What is his love language or your partner's love language? And consciously taking that into account. Otherwise, they're an obstacle to your business if you don't flip. They're an obstacle to your goal if you don't say, hi, I need them. So what do they need? Yes? Okay, so what's the alarm or the time on your watch every day that you're going to say, check in with your mate. We're all from Australia now. Check in with your mate.
So as you're becoming more and more successful, yeah, how do you ensure that you are still showing appreciation for his role as your
How
husband?
Do you need him?
Right.
How do you need him? Tell him how you need him every day. Every single day. Every single day, Chris tells me how he needs me and why, and I tell him how I need him and that I can't do this without him. Every night after Bliss, I sit down and we're like, I'm like, I literally can't do this without you. I can't. Mwah! So Jordan's going to go home and but really, right? We all want to hear that. We all want to know that no matter how powerful you get, because you are stepping in, Jordan, it's very apparent to everybody here, like you're in your power. So when you go home, it's like reminding him how important he is to you and how he helped you get here and like how much more you love him from that place, right? Does that help? Good. Amazing. Thank you. Next question right over here.
Hi, I'm Allison from Virginia.
Hi, Allison.
Lori, this past year, one of the things that sort of shocked me, but you turned it into a really beautiful teaching moment, was a lady criticized you on your bathrobe Facebook Lives. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, when I watched it, my jaw dropped, because I was like, I'm in full makeup ready to go, and she looks better than me, so how's someone criticizing her? But I think when we step into this role of teaching, coaching, we open ourselves up to greatness, but also a lot of criticism and maybe meanness. And you turned it into this great teaching moment of bless and release. But if we're not quite there, maybe what are some tools or tips to bounce back from that criticism a little quicker?
I want a few of us to speak on this. I'm going to speak for a minute. Then I'd really like Brittany and the other ladies to speak on this too, because this is so big. This is kind of the everything point. This is the do or die. Because, and that's such a great question. Thank you for asking that. Because what's going to happen is you guys are all on fire. One person is going to say something really to attack your character. It's going to be the exact thing that you have been fearing your entire life, and it's going to be in public. And it's either going to destroy you or it's going to make you stronger. And you choose, yes? Okay. So, and it's literally the exact thing. It's the exact thing that you're worried about, right? Okay, I had one happen right before this event on literally, was that Friday morning? I'm not going to say what it was, but it was Friday morning and somebody literally like, it was just so painful. And I was like, okay, release. And many, many curse words were said. And I felt it. Like, I felt it. I screamed. I freaked out. Like, because people just say when they're in a mode, right, something might happen and they're triggered and they don't take into account that maybe you didn't know what was going on or what was happening or any of that stuff. Or maybe it's just, it's all their stuff. So I had to take a minute and I had to say, whoa, this is their stuff. Like, they didn't even breathe before they sent this message, nor do they know what's going on. So that's what I did. You breathe. You know that it's not you. It is so their stuff. I mean, it's not even a little bit of their stuff. It's 47 years of their stuff and probably their grandma's stuff and their grandma's grandma's stuff. Yeah, for sure. So it's just that it's that opportunity in that moment. You know how we've been talking a lot about grace and space? I say that to myself. I'm like, give yourself space right now. Slow down the reaction time, because right now you want to spew venom, and that's not who you are. So, and that's how it feels. It's a fire, right? Like you turn into this fire-breathing dragon, like Khaleesi. this is a time and a place for her, though. Okay, so give yourself that grace and that space, because it is going to happen, and it's only their stuff, and it's actually the most beautiful moment for you to allow them to, it's almost like it always turns around, and they're like, whoa, I can't believe her love was so intense and so big that it actually reflected back on them. And it's such a valuable lesson to them. And it's almost like you're loving so much on them, they can't handle it. And some people crumble underneath it and they freak out more. And some people just melt. And they're like, I'm so sorry. I was reacting over something. So grace and space, reacting and knowing that you're on your path if that happens. So Brittany, I'm sure this has happened to you before.
Yeah, it has. And I second everything that you shared. It's, I think the biggest thing for me that helps, and whether it's like an attack on something I'm doing or just something that triggers that someone says something and it hurts my feelings or whatever that might be, is just like Lori said, remembering everyone's on their own journey and you are mirroring back to them their, I almost said a cuss word, their stuff. And you are mirroring back to them their stuff. And so basically your greatness is maybe hitting a tinge of like, oh, I'm not doing that. Or you shining is maybe hitting a tinge of, oh, like, I wish I was shining too. They might not consciously say, I wish I was doing that too. It might show up in just like this burning thing inside of them that makes them lash out, or this thing that makes them take your knees out from under you and say something that they don't even truly feel. It's just the state that they're in. So one exercise, I actually use it with a lot of the girls in our program, because a lot of times as women are releasing, you know, old paradigms with their body and food, they are around people that have diet talk and body hate talk and shame and things like that. And it's just like a flip it exercise. It's kind of imagining like a mirror, like facing out and just like comment comes, like mirror it back to them. Like, and it's just like thinking about just the deflecting instead of internalizing it and making it personal about you, because just like Lori said, it's not personal. And then to piggyback on that is compassion. So if someone comes up and says something mean to me, like, oh my gosh, like what must be going on in their heart to have them like take their time and type a comment, or like verbally say a comment, or like walk up to someone and say something about their weight, or I'm talking about the girls in our program. So just remembering, like, if someone's saying anything about anything, most likely they're struggling with it in some capacity, and just like, wow, like I have so much compassion for you. I hope you're not going through anything, but I'm sorry for whatever you might be going through. That's like evoking that type of response. And you might not even need to say that out loud, but just internally come from that like grounded, compassionate place. And then also what Lori said, the more grounded you are in what you're up to, you can deflect easier. Like, okay, like they're saying that, I get it, it's going to happen. And like, you just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and use that as fuel to make you stronger.
I love that. Thank you. I just want to add one last thing to that, because you reminded me so much about how, you know, how in the beginning of when we leave here, we leave events and you get on your path. It's like, sometimes you can, everything now becomes so, it just, everything stands out, whether it's a post on Instagram or something on Facebook or something. And you can either think, oh, it's about you, or you have to fix it, right? Oh my God, is that about me? Or I have to fix it. And when you are on your path, everything that you do, you can just have love and compassion for it as it goes through your newsfeed and you go through your day and you just keep getting right on your path. The more that you get so zoned in on helping people, everything else, like I can pretty much go on social media now with these check-ins of love and compassion and just not see anything negative. Because it's just love them more. Ooh, love the her even more. Okay. And then... For real, like, oh, like, if you think, oh, that's about me, like, I've seen posts where I'm like, oh, my God, I think she's writing this about me. No, let it go and flip it right away. Be like, loving her, loving her, loving her, back on my path. Because that's just a time suck and an energy suck, yes? Awesome. Okay, let's do another question. Right here.
Okay, so I think this is a manifestation. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Seth Gold, say, half the year in St. Louis, half the year in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Carrie's on it. Okay, so I think this is about manifesting, but, like, totally get the deadline, buy the suit, get the retreat center. Okay, so it's out there. You've got it. You've spent $7,000. And, like, you're... So do you have any tools for, like, manifesting and not fearing? Like, how do you not worry? Okay, how am I going to get those five people? Where are the five people going to come from? How am I going to – so this was probably earlier before you guys had such large followings, but –
So the question is how do I make sure I stay
in the positive?
Yeah, in the positive when you're planning anything, basically. For you, right. In your case, it's a retreat. The money's already put down.
Right.
Okay, yes. And I think we're all going to answer this one. But for me, it's just meditation and prayer, 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 and positive, like, thinking about the, like, visualizing all of the women that are going to show up, who you're going to help, and sending them all love, and knowing that you are in full-on faith and you are so supported, like, full-time faith. Full-time faith, full-time faith. You stepped in, it will be answered. So whether that answer is the one that you want or not, it's the right answer, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. What about you guys?
So I actually love this question. And when we talk about habits, meditating and journaling and reading, like standing on your head, whatever it may be for you, I honestly think that there's something for everyone, right? Because sometimes 20 minutes of meditation can seem like a lot. So I love visualization. And what I think... And I love, like, prayer, prayer, prayer. And again, I think it's whatever it is for you. But being consistent, because I feel like so often we can start doing it and then get sidetracked with all the to-dos, right? So we're like, all right, I'm meditating. Okay, I meditated for 2 days in a row. I'm good. I have to do this, this, and this. So, but just staying on that consistent habit, because, you know, you could do it or you could not do it. And just, again, faith. Yeah, for sure.
I'll add to that. One thing that I do is I actually go down the worst case scenario path so that I'm not avoiding it like a beach ball. And I think, okay, well, what if nobody does show up? And then I get a contingency plan. Like, how early do I have to get my deposit out of there? When do I make deadlines? Like, I'm going to make the call at this date to cancel it. If I have had to cancel some retreats, I've had others that sold out in a week. I honestly have no idea why some fly and others. And then I learn and I iterate. I borrow from the startup world. My partner Chris has grown up in the startup world, and they iterate fast, they fail fast, and they recover. So, for example, you can manifest, I'm yes anding to everything everybody's saying, but if something is not going according to plan, I try to pivot as quickly as I can. So maybe it's not being positioned properly, maybe I haven't done enough marketing on it, maybe the season's wrong, the tone of it is wrong, and I try to learn and quickly adapt to let, so it's like there's a balance between manifesting and visual and hoping it goes well, and then like doing what needs to be done to kind of tweak and make sure you can do what you can to make sure it's a success. Does that make sense? It's a both and.
Yes.
And the final thing is like trusting that it's all divine. and that you're meant to learn whatever you're meant to learn from that experience. So if it's a raging success, amazing. Celebrate and go high with that. And if it's a learning opportunity, guarantee you're going to learn so much from that one experience that it's going to just set you up infinitely better for anything in the future. So whatever happens, do your best, give it everything you've got to give, and then trust that it was meant to unfold as it did. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amazing. Yeah. Beautiful.
So I'm yes anding too.
Because I like it.
Yeah, everything. Just about fear in general, like fearlessness doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Fear is going to be there. As you know from my brain science, the brain's always trying to keep us safe, right? And our body's always trying to keep us safe. And so booking a retreat, like massive fear response. Brain's like, like my money, like mm-hmm. survival mode, really, like what's going to happen? And then you don't know this is happening. You just get the negative self-talk, the no one's going to show up, the how am I going to fill the seats, the like all these doubts come in. And so I actually, on top of all this stuff, I like taking a little bit of an objective approach when those fears come in and like not giving them too much energy and recognizing them as just byproduct of me leveling up my life. Like, oh, of course that's coming up. Like, I've never done this before. It's registering as fear in my brain. My brain's making this negative self-talk and kind of, like, I think of it literally like a pattern and just being like, okay, like, I see you. I can send you love. I know that you're trying to protect me. However, like, that's not serving me right now and I'm choosing this. And you can use that for any mm-hmm. like, up-level because it happens every time, every stage, every program you launch, every dream you go after, everything. It does come up. And so it's like separating from that and moving forward anyway.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, you guys. I think that was the last of the questions because we have to start loving on each other before we go home, right? So can we send our panelists huge love? Because I'm like, was that helpful? Yes.
Yay.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing, and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.